from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. So John the Baptizer this week comes to the Jordan River and has an announcement to make. No megaphone, no microphone, just the Holy Spirit. And he kind of, I'm going to paraphrase him a little bit. Got some good news, and I've got some bad news, is sort of how he would begin. The good news is that it's time to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, or the rule and reign of heaven is near. The bad news is it's time to repent, for the rule and reign of heaven is near. It's both good news and bad news. The job of John the Baptizer, or the Baptist, is to make sure that everybody knows what they're in for. To make sure everybody knows what's coming. If we hear the words of Jesus and believe them, which we should, and I hope we do, John the Baptizer is the embodiment of the new Elijah. He's the announcer, the one preparing the way for Jesus. And he does so in not so kind words. It's where we sort of get that phrase, the fire and brimstone preacher, right? The one who's all about hell, fire, and damnation, the one who stands on the corner and says, the end is near. That's John the Baptizer. That's what he's there for. That's what he's there to do, to let people know that there's good news and bad news. And the fact is they sound a lot the same. John is letting everybody know that things have been going pretty smoothly for them lately. They'd had it pretty easy. I mean, they had Roman occupation, but that kept them safe. They had all of their needs met, pretty much. People were taken care of. And what happens? Every time, it happens to us, it happened to the people of Israel, it happened at Jesus' time. What happens when everything seems to be going smoothly? Who do we tend to forget? God. When things are going smoothly and everything is nice, we tend to get a little, as some would say, fat and happy. We get comfortable. Everything is okay. We don't have any struggles. Not any real ones, anyway. We might have a few here and there, but nothing earth-shattering. And we tend to forget who it is that made it all that way for us. So John the Baptizer shows up to remind the people of that. He shows up in the wilderness. Make way for Jesus. In the wilderness. Where did the people of Israel wander for 40 years? In the wilderness. And there's where John shows up. In the wilderness. Just to remind them of what it happened to be like when they wandered in the wilderness. Camel hair, eating locusts, wild honey. He was kind of an interesting soul. And he's there to tell the people of Israel that they were going to find themselves back in the wilderness again, unless they did something about it. And his words to them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, for the rule and reign of heaven is close. He says, you don't even realize how close the rule and reign of heaven is. In fact, the ruler of heaven is closer than you can possibly imagine. See, the wilderness where John is standing was a place of wandering about. The people of Israel wandered there. God was present. Wherever they wandered, he was present, whether it was by feeding them manna or by the pillar of fire, the pillar of smoke. He was present, always taking care of them. And now John is back in the wilderness with a very present God. In fact, a God so present that it's not likely that he could get much closer. He's standing there with the flesh and blood Jesus himself. No more pillar of smoke, no more pillar of fire, no more manna, but the real present Jesus. So when he's proclaiming repentance, he's doing so pointing to Jesus. Repent, because Jesus is here. Repent, because God is present. Now, we have sort of watered down the idea of repentance. And that's all of our faults. Probably especially the pastors and the leaders in the church. We've watered the idea of repentance down to simply confessing our sins. But for John and for the people of Israel, repentance was much bigger than that. And maybe we need to be reminded of that, listening to John's words. Because if the true God is present, as we say, when we come to the table, we believe in the true presence of Christ, that he is here, his body and blood is truly present, then repentance takes on a whole new meaning. It's not simply confessing your sins. Now it's, oh my gosh, I need to change my entire life. I've become self-absorbed. I've become myopic in my ability to see things around me. Become so concerned about myself and my needs and my wants and my desires that I've ignored everyone around me. I become so lost in my search for God that I gave up. Stopped praying. Don't do my devotions anymore. Repentance is not just confessing and saying, yeah, I know God forgives me. Repentance is saying, I need to change. I need to stop what I'm doing and turn and do an about face 180 degrees and get back out of the wilderness and back into God's presence. That's what John is proclaiming. He's proclaiming Jesus is here. God is present. Stop wandering about in the wilderness and get your head back in the game. Refocus. See what God has done for you. That's the repentance that John's proclaiming. It's much greater. And so we do the same. We come to the table today in true repentance. Not just saying, yeah, God, I know I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. It's, God, my life needs to change. I need to remember what it's all about. I need your presence in my life to help me to refocus, get my head straight. I need your presence in my life so that I can tell others to do the same, so that I can proclaim your presence. That's what we do today when we come to the table. Now, John has some choice words for others who are there. And we can say, yes, it was for the Pharisees and Sadducees, so it doesn't really apply to us. We can do that. Or we can hear John's words to them just as they would be spoken to us and take them to heart. And his words for them, I want you to look at this. Open up your bulletin there to page 6. And right in the middle of the page, verse 7, he has some choice words. Those aren't kind words. Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. I don't like being called a snake. I don't know about you. Maybe you like snakes, but I don't know that I would take kindly to being called a snake or even related to a snake, as a brood would be related to snakes. These are tough words. Now, he has tough words for the people of Israel, but he has even tougher words for the religious leaders of the people of Israel. And his words to them are, boy, you really have messed up. You've led the people astray to wander in the wilderness. You are the ones who are supposed to keep us on the straight and narrow, and you have allowed them to wander. And you've wandered. He says, you say you follow God, but there's nothing to show for it. He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, because the tree that you're growing, the fruit is all rotten. There's nothing good coming from you guys, you religious leaders. He says, your tree's only fit for firewood. He says, so you need to change even more than the people themselves. And you're not going to like it. Because change is hard, especially for the stubborn ones. Change is hard. But there's good news. I know it's hard to hear it as John is proclaiming this words of fire and brimstone and judgment against the people and against the religious leaders. But there is good news. And the good news is that the kingdom of heaven is near. The rule and reign of Jesus is present. It's active. It's not a passive sitting up on a throne in the middle of nowhere looking down upon a kingdom. Jesus rules by being present and active in the people. The Pharisees, Sadducees, he'll get them straight, just like he gets us. He says, the good news, first, is that John is actually there announcing the presence of Christ. That's good news. When somebody tells you of something bad that's going to happen and you should probably not go where you're going to go, that's good news that they've let you know that this could be really bad. I appreciate fair warning, even when I don't always heed it. I appreciate it. So, fair warning, the presence of Christ is here. The presence of Christ is with us. God is present here, today, right now. And I know sometimes we kind of pass that off and say, yeah, I know I believe that, but we need to believe that. That God is truly present here with us. Not just in a dusty book that we sing hymns out of. He is present here with us. And he's come to do some things. He's come to be active in our lives. If we hear what Isaiah has to say about what this present Christ does. He says, he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. He shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Listen to what the world is like when the presence of Christ is here. He says, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. We know cows graze, but have you ever seen a bear graze? They like blueberries. I've seen that. The young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox.
What will this place be like when the reign and rule of Christ is present? It's a place of peace. It's a place of harmony, unity, blessedness, righteousness, all of those things. And that's here today, whether our eyes can see it or our ears can hear it, that is present here. Because Jesus is here. Now, I'll conclude with the words from Paul, Romans 15. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice, get your announcing out, that with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.